Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. As always, got my co-host, Jackson McCurry, alongside with me tonight. Jack, how we doing, man?
Doing well, brother. I know it's been a little bit since you and I sat down to do a podcast. Like I mentioned on the last episode that I did with Alex, that, you know, our schedules just don't mesh all the time, but when we do, it's always good, and it's always good to talk to you, man.
It is, and you know, the schedules have been weird. I've been sick. I mean, it's just sometimes these things don't work out. But we have no shortage of things to talk about, because with the Browns and the offseason, there is always plenty to discuss. And last week at the league meetings, Jimmy Haslam spoke, and the Browns media had a chance to talk to them. And we have a couple particular news items that we'll kind of discuss. It might be older stuff now, but I mean, it's the first chance that you and I have had to talk about it. But Haslam did say that extensions for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are close to completion. Now, you and I have talked about this already, about how both of Barry and Stefanski are deserving of extensions. And now it seems like maybe after the draft, they might be officially done. But it seems that extensions for both are right around the corner, and most deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was coming, but of course, like, you know, you always wonder, like, what's taking so long? Why we have to wait for this? But we understand it's a process and everything. We did see the Lions extend their general manager and Dan Campbell's contracts already this offseason. So they really could happen at any time. They could happen after the draft, like you said, but it was nice to hear Jimmy and D both say that, you know, the contract extensions were coming. Jimmy said that they're in the process of working through things so that both Kevin and Andrew can be with the organization for an extended period of time. You know, this is the continuity that we were always hoping for. When Jimmy Haslam bought the team, obviously it took a long time to finally get some stabilization, some continuity with this organization. But Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have done a pretty good job, considering what the organization, the shape it was in when they took over in 2020, a 37-30 record, two trips to the postseason. Unfortunately, you know, the success hasn't always been there in the playoffs. Obviously this past year wasn't the way to end the season wasn't the way we hoped it would be, but I think Barry and Stefanski have done a fine job along with Paul D. Podesta and the rest of the organization. So, we know the extensions are coming. I'm curious to see how long those extensions will be. But Stefanski and Barry have done a good job, and it's great to see that Jimmy Haslam's going to reward them with contract extensions.
Are you surprised? Because there's always been a lot of talk about, you know, the Deshaun Watson stuff. Are you surprised that both of them are going to get an extension, even though this thing might not work out the way they thought it would? That they would survive it?
So, I mean, anything can happen, obviously. And, you know, 8-9 months from now when the season ends, hopefully it doesn't end till next February. But we know if things go sideways, we know Jimmy Haslam's always got that trigger finger. But I do feel like Jimmy Haslam was at the forefront of the Deshaun Watson trade, trying to make that happen. Obviously, he dished out the fully guaranteed contract to make it happen, but I feel like the way Andrew Berry's done building the roster, keeping the cap flexibility, keeping the draft capital flexibility, and the way Kevin Stefanski's coached, I think it's bought themselves more time, and it's kind of like, now it's up to Deshaun Watson, and it's year three. You know, the first 2 years haven't gone the way they wanted. At the end of the day, I mean, it does come down to wins and losses, but I do think the way Barry and Stefanski have performed in their respective jobs, I think it buys them more time, despite the fact that the Deshaun Watson trade hasn't worked out yet so far.
Yeah, it's, you know, definitely interesting. And, you know, You hope that it works out. I mean, all we need is like average quarterback play. I think, honestly, that's all that we need. Honestly, you expect a lot more for the money that they gave out, even though his contract's, you know, started to, you know, be at the bottom of the top 10, I think, quarterback wise now, you know, based on some of the other deals that have happened over the last few seasons. So, you know, it's not as a staggering of a number when you compare it to others, but you expect him to be a top 10 quarterback, and they certainly haven't gotten that yet. The hope is, coming back from injury, that you can get there. We'll see how it shakes out. They did, you know, bring in a couple quarterbacks and Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley to go along with DTR. So, you know, there are a handful of quarterbacks here, you know, in case, you know, the shoulder isn't all right and, you know, they have to, you know, go another route for a few games. But it seems like we just need average to above average quarterback play, and that should be good enough with the talent that is on this team offensively, defensively, to get the Browns back to the playoffs again.
Yeah, without question. I think we've seen what Kevin Stefanski's been able to do with Baker Mayfield, with Joe Flacco at the end of last year, with Jacoby Brissett in 2022. You just need average to slightly above average quarterback play. The rest of the roster is as solid as it's ever been in our lifetimes as Browns fans. And Kevin Stefanski's done a great job. He has motivated those players to give him everything back in return for what he's been able to do. And not just him, obviously, the rest of that coaching staff's done a fantastic job. And Andrew Berry has found talent. You know, he searches every avenue to find talent, and they both have done such a great job. And this is great for us, Anthony, because they're entering year five, and no head coach GM regime since they came back in 99 has ever hit the fifth year. Like we've seen guys make it 4 years. Butch Davis made it 4 years. Romeo and Phil Savage made it 4 years, but no one's made it to their fifth year. And I think that's a credit to what Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have been able to do.
I'm just glad it's been 5 years since we've had to do a general manager and head coach search on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad it's been a long time, and hopefully with these extensions, you know, we won't have to do another one anytime soon. So that's always a positive thing as well. Along with Haslam speaking, we talked about, I want to say it was last month on the podcast, about the Browns acquiring some land in the Brook Park area by the airport for potential stadium. And Haslam kind of spoke to that at the owners' meetings. They kind of said it's kind of down to two options, a new dome stadium in that land that they bought, or a $1 billion upgrade to Cleveland Browns Stadium, where it currently sits on the lakefront. And, you know, this is going to be something that's never ending until there's finalized plans. But it seems like, Jack, we have option A and option B. Your preference?
My preference is honestly like to do the dome stadium in Brook Park. You know, they haven't officially bought that land yet. Jimmy Haslam did say that they have a contract on the table to buy that land. So, but I still think they're going back and forth with the city. And it's not just the city. Obviously, it's Cuyahoga County as a whole. The state of Ohio, I'm sure, is involved in the discussions as well. But Anthony, I think when you look at this, we know what we're getting out of Cleveland Browns Stadium right now. Obviously, there is that renovation on the table, but I don't think that'll solve all the issues. Like, they can, you know, it's like, what is the term that I heard on Sports Talk Radio this past week? It's like putting lipstick on a pig. Like, it's not solving the issues. Like, Cleveland Browns Stadium is what it is. You can spice it up the way the Haslams have since they bought the team, and you can put $1 billion more into that, but parking's still an issue. dealing with the weather on the lake is still an issue. I just think about the idea of an indoor facility, something like, you know, the Vikings stadium, something like the Falcons new stadium down in Atlanta. And it's like Cleveland can have that. Northeast Ohio can have that, to where you don't have to use the stadium just for football. You can use it for other events year round in an indoor facility. You can set up some kind of like Brownstown around the area in Brook Park. Obviously it's next to the airport, and there's some of the things you have to deal with being next to Cleveland Hopkins Airport, but just thinking about a brand new stadium, having the parking, having all the amenities around the stadium, I think that's something Jimmy and Dee Haslam have been wanting to do. Obviously they've wanted to help with the lakefront revitalization that's been talked about for years and years, but it just seems like the city wants to do things their way and they don't want the Haslam's input on it, which I think at the end of the day, their input is just as much as the city's, because they own the Cleveland Browns. They want to have a hand in what's going to go on around their football stadium. So the more I think about this back and forth, I know some people want to keep, you know, the traditions of going down to the lakefront, being in that stadium. Anthony, you can attest to that more being a season ticket holder, but I just love the idea of having a potential indoor facility for the Browns, for Northeast Ohio to use year round. It's not going to happen in Cleveland, unfortunately. So you have all that land in Brook Park. I just think it makes the most sense for the Browns to ultimately go there.
Yeah, it's definitely quite a situation. It seems like right now, you know, the Browns, the Haslam and the Browns are kind of holding the city of Cleveland, feet to the fire, expression there to try and get something done. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like that they would be able to put a dome on Brown Stadium as it sits. I don't know if there's any way feasible for that to happen. It seems like there isn't. I don't mind the stadium. I don't think there's really a bad seat in the place at all. There's definitely needed upgrades. Like the upper concourse is too narrow. It's always such a long wait for, you know, the restroom and concessions and all that kind of stuff. Thankfully they put in those escalators, because that was a huge upgrade that they did, to make things a little bit easier. But the flow could be so much better, just traffic wise. The parking is like my biggest gripe about it. I wish that there was a better solution to the parking for a stadium downtown, or where mm-hmm. it sits at. Northeast Ohio Trans Blog, I think that's the site that's kind of been keeping up with this. They posted kind of like what it could look like, and having all of that parking available for the stadium would be absolutely tremendous. You would have to see how the flow of traffic would be, coming from east side, west side, from the south, and even from the north as well. I feel like the Brook Park, probably the situation is probably the best option. If they could find a way to fix all of the problems with the current stadium, I wouldn't mind it if they just did a renovation. But you would really have to sell me on the parking, the accessibility, that kind of stuff, in terms of if that's the route that they decided to go.
Yeah, I would agree, because, I've been to 3 games at the stadium, and the 3 times I've been there, we've had to walk at least a mile to get to the stadium from parking. And I think that's the biggest issue. I think there was something about, if they do renovate the current stadium, that they were going to turn the Muni lot and some other spots into parking garages. Now that's gonna solve the parking issue to an extent, but then you're gonna piss off a lot of fans who enjoy going in the Muni lot tailgating. Like, how are you going to do, what are you going to do to accommodate that? Like, how are you going to accommodate people that want to go tailgate at the stadium? Like, I just feel like that's going to make another issue. Anthony, I did find it interesting though, that Justin Bibb gave his like, Justin Bibb, the mayor of Cleveland, gave his like State of the Union. I think it was today on Thursday as we're recording. There was no mention at all about the Brown Stadium situation. So it could be telling. It could be that the city has made up their mind that this is what they want to do. And maybe the Browns have kind of told them, like, we're in on this renovation or we're going to go to Brook Park. So I think it's going to, we're going to know by the end of the year, I think, what's going to happen with this situation, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, it's weird that we're dealing with this like 30 years later, when they try to get something done with the Gateway project, you know, all those years ago. And, you know, ultimately, you know, Modell decided to move the team. But, you know, obviously that's not on the table. No. But, you know, to move the stadium outside of downtown, look, I feel like it'd be more accessible for a lot of Browns fans, especially with the freeways. But, you know, I guess we'll see how it all shakes out. I wouldn't mind it being in either spot. They just need to address a ton of issues if they decide to go with the renovation and keep it where it's at.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, it seems like there's no option C of them playing somewhere else for a year or two while they tear down Brown Stadium and build another one in this place. And that seems like that's not on the table at all.
So my understanding is if they do this renovation of the current Cleveland Brown Stadium, that they were going to do it in like during the off season, kind of like how Progressive Field's been doing it. Like where they've just been doing it like off season after off season. So it'd be a multi-year renovation type thing, but still, I don't understand. I can't envision how that's going to work. And if something's not done in time before the next season, like that's just going to be really an exhausting process. And that'll kind of invigorate the fan base, I would think too, because and they can't just pick up and like take the team somewhere else unless they cut a deal with Ohio State to play in the Horseshoe while they renovate the stadium. Cause like no other stadium in Northeast Ohio could accommodate the Browns and like the season ticket holders. So it's a crazy situation, but I think it's going to happen soon because the lease at Brown Stadium ends after the 2028 season. So if they're going to build a new stadium and Brook Park, they're going to have to get shovels in the ground by like the end of this year or early next year.
Do we see what like an estimated total would be for the new stadium versus, because I saw $1 billion for the renovation. Did they put any sort of estimate out there for the new stadium?
The ballpark numbers like $2.5 billion, okay. I'm guessing, but like the Rams facility, the Rams and Chargers stadium was $5 billion. Granted, that was in California. I'd have to see like what the Vikings stadium cost at the time, Falcons stadium cost at the time, but there are people who have been floating out like $2.5 billion as the projected number.
Okay. And I don't need it to be like anything like super futuristic either. I don't need it to like look like that, but I would imagine if they're going to build a stadium, they're going to get all the bells and whistles and all that kind of stuff to make it look good.
So the stadium in Minnesota, the people that or the company that built that stadium, the Haslams have used them for the Columbus Crew Stadium. And I think for the renovations that they've done already at Cleveland Brown Stadium since they took over the franchise. And so we see what the Vikings stadium looks like. It's beautiful. It's state of the art. I've talked to people that have been to that stadium and they said it's really nice. So I could see them doing something like that because they have to build a stadium where it's not going to be in like the flight path of something at Hopkins Airport, which is also is supposed to be going under some renovations as well. It's like a multi-billion-dollar project. So that whole area is going to get revitalized, especially if the Browns end up moving to Brook Park.
And not to mention, you know, it'd be a stone's throw away from the facility that they already have now.
Which I think is probably one of the reasons why Jimmy and D Haslam have looked at that land, because it's literally like right around the corner from the current Berea facility, which is also going under a lot of renovations. So Jimmy is throwing out some serious money to get some state-of-the-art facilities for the Browns should the stadium, whatever happens with the stadium, ends up happening.
Oh, for sure. So not only did Haslam speak, but Andrew Berry spoke recently as well. And we got a couple nice tidbits from Andrew Berry. One is that Nick Chubb will start load running next month in April. And Jack, that is great news, because that knee injury that he suffered was so horrific. And we're wondering, you know, is he going to be ready for the start of the season? Is he going to start on the pup list? I would imagine, you know, he'll still miss some time at the beginning of the season, but to be able, you know, roughly it's beginning end of March. So you're looking at what, 5 months until the season starts to begin running. I think is huge news that he'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, not only Andrew Berry, but Jimmy Haslam even commented on Nick Chubb, talking about how much he's been working hard at the Berea facility. Andrew Berry said he's been doing a lot of strength and conditioning. Jimmy Haslam made the comment that Nick's in the hyperbaric chamber at like 5 a.m. to start off the day. So he's really working to get back on the field. He hasn't run yet, which we said he's going to start doing some load running. But I think it's going to be a process. Obviously, we've seen what the Browns have done to the running back room this offseason, adding Deontay Foreman and Nyheim Hines. They have Jerome Ford there. Wouldn't be shocked if they drafted a running back as well. But yeah, I think they're gonna ease this in for Nick Chubb. Obviously, he's pushing 30 years old. This is his second major knee injury. I think it's the same knee, if I remember correctly. I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see him till like the second half of the season, Anthony. I think just because of how serious the injury was, I think they're going to take their time on with him. The way they've addressed the running back room, I think they don't want to rush him back, because like Andrew Berry said, they want Nick Chubb here. Obviously, they're still going to rework that contract, because that's been obviously a big topic point during the offseason. But yeah, I think it's great to see that Nick's actually going to be out there running. It'll be interesting to see if we get to see him at all in any clips during OTAs and mini camp. But yeah, I think this is going to be a slow process to get him back on the field, but we will see him at some point in 2024. It's just a matter of when.
Do you feel that they're well equipped enough right now with the other guys that they have signed to allow Nick to take his time?
Yeah, I really do. I think Jerome Ford showed some things last year. I know some people are down on him, but you also got to keep in mind that we were on our like fourth and fifth offensive tackles at times. So it's hard to judge, you know, whether Jerome had good vision when the offensive line might not have been able to do their jobs. Because if you're trying to compare Jerome to somebody like Nick Chubb, I think that's unjustly to do that to Jerome, but I thought he did some good things. Deontay Foreman has been a solid rotational back wherever he's been. Deuce Daly's obviously a big advocate for him because those two were together in Carolina. And Nyheim Hines, which we'll get to, I think he's going to have a big role elsewhere on the team. But I feel really good about that running back room. And I still think they're probably going to add one in the draft. There's some good running backs day two, day three of the draft that I think the Browns could pick up. So we'll see, but I do think they can hold down the fort, so to speak, until Nick Chubb gets back on the field.
Speaking of skill position players, the Browns recently, you know, extended Jerry Jeudy to a contract extension, and Andrew Berry talked about Amari Cooper and about how there's the potential to extend him this offseason. Now, you know, before the Jeudy contract, you had three guys that their contracts were expiring at the end of the season: Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. If you extend Cooper, now you have two guys long-term here potentially, you know, along with Tillman and Bell still on their rookie contracts. But, you know, they could have kind of a longer-term answer, for, at least for the next 3 or 4 years, if they give Amari Cooper an extension as well.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting. As Mary Kay said, that this probably won't happen until after the draft. So I wonder if that means if the Browns don't get a wide receiver that they have their eye on at 54, then they would circle back and, you know, open an extension talks with Cooper. But I do, I think regardless, Anthony, I think you have to extend Amari if only for like 2 years, including, and then guarantee some of the money this year, because he has no guaranteed money at all this year. He has a $23.7 million cap hit. But I think you got to keep him around. I think he's going to be a good influence for Jerry Jeudy, someone that Jeudy absolutely admires and looks up to. And I think hopefully Amari can be a major influence on him because of the warning signs that were there in Denver for Jeudy. But Amari's been solid since, you know, Andrew Berry pulled off that wizardry of a trade in 2022 to get him here. I seen Jack projected a like 3 years, $75 million extension. I forget how much the guaranteed was. I'd have to go back and look, but I think if you guarantee some of the money this year and then give him like a 2 year extension with that third year, which would be 2026, have a potential for us to get out of it if he just starts to tail off a bit. I think that would be a good deal for both sides, because I just think Amari's been solid for us. And the wide receiver room, like you had mentioned, right now it's just Jerry Jeudy. You got Amari for this year, Elijah Moore for this year. Tillman's entering year two. David Bell's entering year three. That wide receiver room is not looking the most optimistic out of the position groups on the roster. So extending Amari is something I think the Browns need to really explore, if only for a couple years, until we can get some other guys in the room with maybe potentially the first round pick next year.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, next year they have their first rounder back. So, you know, that could definitely be, you know, on the table in terms of finding a receiver, you know, hopefully at pick 32, but, you know, that's something down the road that I'm sure that they could explore. Or, you know, you find somebody this year, you have the ammo to trade a first round pick if you really wanted to. I don't think that they would do that, but there's certainly that ammo there now as you head into the season and, you know, approaching the trade deadline later on.
For sure.
Some other interesting things with the league meetings, we have new kickoff rules, if you care to explain.
Yeah. For anybody that's watched the XFL, you know basically what the rules are. But for those that weren't fans of watching the spring football leagues and aren't familiar with their kickoffs, so the kicker is still going to kick off from the 35-yard line. But instead of, you know, for instance, like the Browns being lined up with Dustin Hopkins or Corey Bjorkas or whoever the kickoff guy is going to be, maybe even Cade York, the rest of the team will be lined up at the 40, and then that'll eliminate the running start. And the returning team can have two returners in the backfield, and the rest of the team, the rest of the returning team will line up in a new setup zone, which is between the 30 and the 35-yard line. Nobody, and like the two opposing teams can't move until the returner touches the ball or the ball were to hit the ground, so to speak. So, this is going to be an interesting situation. Fair catches are no longer allowed, so that's going to be interesting. But Anthony, you know, the kickoffs haven't been exciting for like the last, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 years. I know it really took like Josh Cribbs and made him like ineffective on the Browns roster the last couple years he was there, because they had changed the kickoffs, so to speak. I think they moved the yardage, but this is interesting from what I saw in the XFL. It's a it's an exciting element to the game. We've seen the Steelers go out and get Cordarrelle Patterson, who has the most kickoff touchdowns in NFL history. Josh Cribbs was on ESPN Cleveland this week. He sounded excited about it, saying that he wanted to help Bubba Ventrone with some things. But this is a new plot twist to the NFL, you know, kickoff rules. And I think this could lead to more exciting special teams plays once again.
It's definitely possible, but this also seems like this is the last ditch effort to save the kickoff.
Without a doubt.
If this doesn't work, they're just going to go ahead and eliminate it completely. We'll have to see what like the touchback percentage is, because you know, most of the kickers nowadays just boot the ball out of the back of the end zone. But I'm curious to see how this is going to shake out with you know, maybe the kickoff team will want to do their best to, you know, kick it to around the 5 yard line, you know, and try to get the opposing team, you know, tackled inside the 15 or so. It's going to be very interesting. And I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, but with the Browns signing of Nyheim Hines, this could really bode well in the Browns' favor.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, before he had his jet ski accident, Nyheim Hines was a special teams stud for the Colts and for the Buffalo Bills. He had two kickoff return touchdowns in 2022, including a 101-yard return. So he is a guy that is going to be utilized. We talked about the Steelers signing Cordarrelle Patterson, but you can use two guys back there. So maybe Elijah Moore has a role, because we know he has 4.3 speed. Pierre Strong is a guy that probably was going to be on the bubble going into camp this year. Anthony, this could make special teams guys more of a factor on the roster again, because you're going to have guys potentially to be returners. That's going to really make the, I think, wide receiver and running back depth charts a little bit more interesting and intriguing to watch during the preseason, just because of them implementing this. I didn't tell you this part though, Anthony. They changed something about onside kicks as well. You have to tell the referees that you're going to run it now. You can't just like throw a curveball the way the Saints did in the Super Bowl the 1 year against the Colts. So if you're going to do an onside kick, you have to notify the officials ahead of time. So that's another plot twist into the special teams changes for the NFL.
And, you know, that's really not much of a change. You know, it eliminates the surprise onside kicks, but right. majority of the time, teams know when you're going to onside kick it in the NFL. So I still think that they should go the XFL route on that one, where you have to convert like a 4th and 20 or whatever it was. You know, maybe down the road they could do that. But I think with these new kickoff rules, though, kickoff coverage is going to be extremely important because of the constriction of everybody into a certain area. You're really going to have to be disciplined and do a damn good job of kickoff coverage. Otherwise, it's just going to be big play after big play. So it's definitely not just going to be the return aspect of it, but the kickoff coverage, I think, is going to see a major overhaul as well. And you'll see maybe more of those special team players who specialize in kickoff coverage kind of really shine in this new format.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. And I seen a funny meme today where it was like, it was something about EA Sports, and they're like, when they realize they can't copy and paste Madden because of all the new rule changes. And I had to crack up because it's literally true. They have to go in and actually work on some things this year.
Yeah. We'll see if they'll be able to do it quick enough to have the new kickoff rules in there. I guess we'll see. Yep. All right. The last thing we want to talk about before we get on out of here is you had your brand new mock draft come out over on Dogs by Nature. This is mock draft 6.0. And with the trade for Jerry Jeudy, the Browns are down to 5 draft picks. So yeah. I'm sure it makes things a little bit easier for you in doing these. But it's definitely different from the days of old when, you know, we'd have like 10, 11 picks that we'd have to try to project. So let's go through this. And in round two, you have the Browns taking offensive tackle from Houston, Patrick Paul.
Yeah, it now it's like when you look at the Browns roster, Anthony, it's like now they can go into this draft and just pretty much go best player available. And when I look at this team, obviously when you look at the draft, you're not looking for just 2024, you're looking for the future. And I wrote it up. I said, Daywon Jones is the hopeful long-term guy at right tackle. And then you have Jed Wills, who the Browns still probably had their hopes up that he can break through. He was playing well before the injury last year, but he's in the last year of his contract. I could totally see them moving on at some point if the right guy falls to them. Patrick Paul is a mammoth man at the left tackle position, 6'7", around like 320 pounds or so. Had my eye on him from early last year, was one of the best offensive tackles in college football. And I think he could plug in, and whether he has to sit behind Jed for this year or if he has to step in due to injury, I think Patrick Paul's got the ability to be a long-term option at the left tackle position for the Browns or whoever gets their hands on him. And it's funny because I did this and then there was a report, I can't remember if it was today or sometime this week, that there's a rumor that he's going to go higher than people think. So he might not even make it to 54, but that was the guy I took here in this mock draft.
All right. And round number three, you have the Browns taking running back Trey Benson out of Florida State.
Yeah, it was one of those scenarios where he was one of the best players available, fulfilled a position of a need. Like I mentioned, I think they could add it back at some point in the draft. Benson's he's a home run hitter, averaged 5.8 yards per carry in back-to-back years for the Seminoles. I do worry about the durability because he never had a game of more than 20 carries in college. Did have some injuries here and there, but yeah, he would be a nice piece to go alongside Nick Chubb when he comes back, Deontay Foreman this year, Jerome Ford. I don't know if he'd go running back this high. I think you could get somebody in day three that can accompany the guys in the room, but you know, Benson was too good to pass up in this spot.
All right. In round five, you know, the Browns did sign a couple linebackers. We also have them drafting one, Trevin Wallace, a linebacker out of Kentucky.
Yeah. I just, you know, we expect them to extend JOK, and then that's going to be a big contract. So I feel like the rest of the room, it's just going to be cheap vets and draft picks. They added Jordan Hicks this year. You know, they still could use a couple more guys in the room. Trevin Wallace is a pretty great athlete. He's a good tackler. Last year, his missed tackle rate went up, but I think this is a guy that could come in, help on special teams right away. He needs to work on his coverage skills. Kind of reminds me of the way Taki was coming out, was good at getting after the ball carrier, but wasn't the best coverage linebacker. But we've seen how Taki grew into that role year after year in Cleveland. But you know, when we get down to day three of the draft, Anthony, you know, these guys, you're taking lottery tickets on these guys in day three. And I think Trevin Wallace would be a good safe bet in round five if the Browns wanted to address linebacker at that point.
In terms of, we talked about receiver and how the room could shake out here. You have them taking Anthony Gold, a wide receiver out of Oregon State in the sixth round.
Yeah, and this could be another guy, Anthony, like day three of the draft. They want to try to get somebody else to accompany Nyheim Hines as a potential kick returner. I think Gold could be that great athlete, explosive playmaker. He's versatile, which we know Andrew Berry likes that in his receivers, guys that could play outside and in the slot, even though he's like 5'9" and a half. But he was a big-time playmaker for Oregon State. And, you know, with David Bell, you know, kind of on the bubble, I could see them going after another explosive athlete at the wide receiver position, much like Gold.
And lastly, in the seventh round, You have the Browns taking a quarterback, Willie Drew, out of Virginia State.
Yeah, we know the trend. Andrew Berry always adds a corner in the draft, whether it's in the an actual draft pick or as a UDFA. Willie Drew's got good size, around 6'5". Was an absolute ball hog at Virginia State, with 11 interceptions his last 2 years. Was the only HBCU prospect at the Senior Bowl. Got invited to the combine as well. Ran a 4.4 40-yard dash time. But Andrew Berry has a knack for finding corners. You know, Cam Mitchell was a good one last year in day three of the draft. AJ Green, UDFA, you know, Greg Newsome, Martin Emerson. You know, his track record speaks for himself. Andrew Berry will find another corner. And if they took Willie Drew on day three of the draft, I wouldn't be mad, because some of the early stuff I've gotten to watch, I like what I've seen on film.
All right. That is Jack's mock draft 6.0. Like I said, it's weird only having 5 draft picks to talk about. But I guess that means, on the flip side of it, the Browns roster is in pretty good shape at the moment as it currently stands. So that's always a good thing. Is there anything else you want to discuss before we get on out of here?
I just wanted to hit on one more thing about the mock draft. I don't like that we have to wait between 85 and 156. So I won't be shocked if we trade back one of those picks and added like an extra 4th, because I think Andrew Berry likes the flexibility, and I don't know if he wants to sit around and wait in between 71 draft selections to wait for his next pick. So it wouldn't shock me if he does some wheeling and dealing. But like you said, though, with only having 5 draft picks and the roster being as deep as it is currently, it wouldn't shock me if they only pick 5 guys. It wouldn't shock me if they picked less. But we know how Andrew Berry likes that flexibility, so I still wouldn't rule out a trade down at this point.
Or that's where Greg Newsome can come into play as well.
Yes, very much so.
With the trade. So we'll definitely find out. We're probably, exactly about a month away from the draft?
About a month away. Yeah, we're inside a month, which I think tonight would be obviously night one of the draft. So, yeah, we're about a month away, man.
Which is pretty crazy. So we'll definitely be here to talk about all that. As we get on out of here, though, be sure to give Jack a follow on X at Jack McCurry 08. Be sure to give me a follow at Anthony Jokey, JOKI, the Dogland, a follow on X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, all that fun stuff at the Dogland. With that, we are going to get out of here. I'm sure we'll probably be back at some point next week to probably dive a little bit more into the draft, but as always, cover more Browns news as it comes out. Until then, and as always, remember, go Browns.